So I started off this new year with really good intentions. My big thing is I'm going to be healthy this year. And I've hit this point where I'm getting ready to turn 38 years old, which is insane. But my body doesn't respond the same way that it used to. I used to be able to eat things into like all hours of the evening and have ice cream at like midnight and all that kind of stuff. And you could never tell, but all of a sudden I can tell. And my clothes can tell and all that good stuff. And so my thing was, I'm going to get in shape this year. I'm going to be healthy. And I set out with those good intentions. And this week I've done some good things. I've run like 6 miles, which is a lot for me. You don't have to clap, but you could. I've ran some miles, you know, and so I'm feeling good about myself. And I'm playing tennis later in the week, and another form of exercise. And as I'm driving home from tennis, I'm just kind of, you know, riding high, you know, feeling good about life. And I'm passing by Chick-fil-A, and I have this thought, you know, I've burned a lot of calories, and so I need to replenish my body. I don't want to waste away. And so I stop at Chick-fil-A, and I order a meal, like the chicken sandwich meal with a large fry and a lemonade. And then I don't stop there, but I actually order a large ice cream in a cup, and then I ask for a cookie as well. And so I eat all the food, and then I take the ice cream, and I break the cookie in half because I'm only going to eat half of it because it's a new year. And I put it into the cup, and I stir it around, and I go home, and I just kind of feel really sick about everything. And my only kind of saving grace is, well, I only ate half the cookie. That's kind of what I'm telling myself as I go to bed. And the next morning comes, and it's time to take the kids to school, and I don't have time for a good breakfast, and I see that other half of the cookie, and I eat it. And I drink down a soda with it, and it's just been a great start to the new year. Anybody else with me where your intentions haven't quite panned out for what you were shooting for? That's kind of where I'm at. And I believe this about you guys. I believe this, that we've all got good intentions, right? We look at 2017 and we say, this year I want to be a better spouse. I want to be a better friend. I want us to do better in our finances, all right? I want to be a better follower of Christ. I want to know God more this year. Like, that's my intention. I'm sure that's many of your intentions. We have really good intentions, but there's this dynamic that takes place in my life where I can have really good intentions, but at the end of a year, I can look back and very little changed. Has anybody else ever been in that situation? And there's this thing where I've got good intentions, but there's a disconnect between my intentions and the reality that I find myself in. And we're starting a new series today, really with the hopes to change that for us, okay? And the series is talking about how can we have the best year ever. Isn't that a hopeful title? Just best year ever. Like, this is going to be so good, right? You guys don't sound like you believe it. Everybody just say, best year ever. That's right, best year ever. That's what we're going for. I've been reading this really good leadership book called The Principle of the Path. And I love this book. The premise of it is basically that it's direction, not intention, that leads to a destination. It's direction, not intention, that leads to a destination. You see, it's not about intentions, because we've already kind of, we've said this. We all have great intentions. It has everything to do with direction. And that the direction of the path we're going, it's going to lead to a certain destination. That there's going to be an end point, and that it's not about our intentions, it's about the direction we're going. Proverbs 4:26 says, give careful thought to the paths for your feet, and be steadfast in all your ways. Wisdom is to think about the path that you're on, because every road leads somewhere. It leads to a specific destination. When I was a freshman in high school, and I think it was like 94, 95, right around there somewhere. I was a freshman in high school, and it was the first day of basketball practice. And I was so excited. I mean, I had just big dreams about who I was going to be as a basketball player. And I knew that this was my year to really make like kind of a leap. I'm, you know, have the opportunity to play on the varsity this year if I do well. And it's the first day of practice. And I'm just thrilled and just been thinking about it all day. And at the end of the day, we're getting ready to go. And practice is at Rosemont Baptist because our gym had a problem that day. And so it's going to be about a 15 or 20 minute ride there. And practice is at 4 and school's out at 3. And I look at a kid named Muncie. He's from Muncie, Indiana, and we just call him Muncie. And I say, Muncie, let's go to McDonald's and get some food on the way to practice so we can really have energy to, like, blow this thing out. And Muncie is new to the area and is, are you sure we have time to get there? He didn't realize I have terrible directions and a sense of direction, and I absolutely. And so we go to McDonald's, and as we're leaving, I'm like, Muncie, it's just right down the road here, Harrodsburg Road. We're going to come on it in just a little bit. And so we're just driving down the road, just loving life, right? The windows are down. It's 95. I think we're listening to like Coolio's Gangster Paradise as we're going down the road, and just we're happy. We're all dreaming dreams. I've got headband on my head and like wristbands, and I look the part like I'm going to do something in basketball. And as we're driving down the road, just so excited, I start to get a little nervous because I'm not seeing Rosemont Baptist. And I know my sense of direction isn't the best, and I'm like, what's going on here? And we drive a little bit further, and we run into Triangle Park and Rupp Arena, which is not the gym that I was shooting for. It was Rosemont Baptist is where we're supposed to go, and so I know we've missed it somehow, and so I go into a gas station and ask for directions. This was before GPS and all that good stuff, and they tell me, well, that's on Clay's Mill Road. It's not on Harrodsburg, and I said, that's not good. And so we took off for the gym. We're 30 minutes late, and we walk in. My coach, his name was Coach Williams. He's 6'6". He loves basketball. I'm not sure he loved kids. And we walked in, and he didn't, I don't even know how he knew we walked in, because he didn't never made eye contact with us, but he just said, get on the line. And so that was my first impression as a freshman. And we ran the rest of that practice, and that was basically the end of my basketball career for all the dreams that I had for it. And I look back, and I look on Muncie and me. We were so innocent. We didn't intend to go to Rupp Arena. We didn't intend to go on the wrong road. We didn't intend any of those things. But every road has a destination, and Harrodsburg Road will lead downtown to Rupp Arena every single time, 100% of the time. That's where that road leads. And that's really what the principle of the path is that every road has a specific destination. Every path is going to lead to a specific endpoint. And it's important that you and I take notice of the path we're on, because it's going to lead somewhere. And Jesus said this in Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14. He says to pay close attention. He says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Jesus warning us, pay attention to the path that you're on, because the path you're headed down, that's where your life is going to end up. And there's a path that if you follow after Jesus, that it's going to lead to life. But there's also a path that if you fall down it every single time, it's going to end up in destruction. Every single time. There's paths that no matter how many times you take them, in the end, it's going to be destruction over and over. This is how this principle kind of plays out in our lives. We say, I want to get closer to God. And that's my intention for the year. I want to grow closer to Him. But I don't give God priority in my life. I don't really spend time reading the Bible. Church is something that I come to when I don't have something else going on. You know, I'm not involved in a life group. There's a little plug for life groups that are starting back up. I'm not involved in a life group. I'm not taking advantage of opportunities that God puts around me to have relationships with other followers. At the end of 2017, even though my intention was to grow closer to God, that path is going to lead to an apathetic relationship with God. A heart that's cold, right? Every single time. My intention could be that I want to have a great marriage. You know, we just want to have where we're just best friends and just, you know, everything's great. But if we don't spend time together, we don't talk, we don't go out on dates, all those kind of things, at the end, we're going to find ourselves in a place where we're just in an average marriage at best. That's where that path leads every single time. Proverbs 27:12 says, "The prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and they pay the penalty." See, wise people look at the path and they see the end while they're on the path and they say, this isn't going where I want to go. And so they take refuge. They take a different course. They get on a different path. But fools, they just keep going towards their destruction. And it's weird because we can see it in other people, but we have a hard time seeing it in ourselves. We can see when someone else is heading down a path that's going to lead to a bad place. Over the Christmas break, we went up to Kentucky. And we're there, and you can only be like in your in-law's house for so long with your family before you just decide we need to leave the state again. And so it's been a few days there, and I say, Lauren, I want to take a couple of the kids to go skiing, right? Because they rarely have ever seen snow, and so she's like, okay, and she tries to give me certain ones, and I kind of handpick the two that I want, and I head out with Wyatt and Emery, and we're going up to Perfect North in Indiana. You didn't realize Indiana had a ski slope, but they do, and we're going to the Perfect North, and we get there, and I just feel like dad of the year, right? My kids, we drive up, and it's funny, it's like green everywhere, but on this one hill, there's white. You know, it's this, my kids are like, whoa. And they're just amazed, and I'm just feeling so proud of myself. About an hour later, I lose the kids for about 30 minutes. And so I God humbled me a little bit. And that's the truth. That's another day story. But while I'm looking for the kids, I'm going around kind of frantically looking, and out of the corner of my eye, I see coming down the Black Diamond, the really kind of upper level, you know, you're a great skier, you're going down this. I see this guy coming down, and he's just going straight down, you know. Good skiers are kind of doing the side-to-side thing. He's just, boom, going straight down. And I would think that he's maybe just really, really good, except for I heard his screaming. And he's screaming, and he's passing people up left and right. And for some reason, though, he's not falling down. Like, he just keeps going. And I'm just mesmerized by it. And I'm watching it in amazement. But then I start to feel like he keeps coming towards me. It's like he's a heat-seeking missile, and I can't, you know, I kind of move to the right, and he somehow comes that way, and I move to the left, and I'm like, I'm not going to be able to avoid this. This is going to be bad. And at the last minute, thanks be to God, he had a terrible crash. And just head over heels, and it's bad. It's bad. I'm questioning whether he survives it. And they send out the snow patrol, and they put him on the little cart, and they take him off. And on the way out, he just kind of gives everybody the thumbs up, so we know that he made it. But I'm looking back on this, and it's like the destination was decided the moment that he made the decision, I'm going to get on this ski lift to go up on the Black Diamond. Like, that very first decision, it totally decided what his destination was going to be. An ER, right? Like, he's going to be in a full body cast because of that decision. And then he's at the top of the hill, and for some reason, he didn't think I should take my skis off and just walk down. He decided to actually go down. And those little decisions, that path that he was on, he didn't see where it was going to end. I promise you, because he never would have done it if he saw where it was going to end. But that's the way it is in life sometimes, right? You ever have a friend in your life or a relative or someone you care about, and they're just making mistakes, and they don't see it. Someone that says, I want to find a Christian spouse. I want to have a great husband who's a believer and have a great family. And you watch them, though, and they'll date anybody that shows them any attention. And it's like, where do you think this is going to end up? Or you see friends, and they're the ones who look like they're having so much fun. Like, they live in a house they can't afford, and they're always getting new cars. And we're like, well, why don't we still have these old cars? Like, we should have new cars, too. And you watch them, and it looks like everything's so great. But then you get a phone call, and they're just telling you, I'm so stressed out. I mean, we can't make our payment. And you hear this whole story, and it's like, where did you think that was going to end up? Or you've got friends who, they're married, but they're just always fighting, and they're critical of each other. And when they're not together, they're talking about each other and maybe even like flirting with other people sometimes. And you get a call from them and says, we're getting a divorce. And you're like, yeah, that's kind of what I expected. That's the destination, that the path you're on. That's where it was going to lead to. And we can see it in others, but what about in your life? What about in my life? Are there any areas in our life where there's a disconnect between the path that we're on and the destination that we'd say that we want to get to? We're heading in a direction that we'd say is not where we really want to go. If you want to make changes, if we really want to make this the best year ever, there's really two things that we're going to need. And one is we're going to need a clear direction. And this is kind of what we've been talking about so far. We need to make sure the path that we're heading down is going in a direction that we want to end up in. And the second thing we're going to need is time. Proverbs 21:5 says, the plans of the diligent lead to profit, as surely as haste leads to poverty. Let me ask you a question. A year from now, where do you want to be? In your life, a year from now, where do you want to be? In your finances as a family, where do you want to be? In your relationship with God, where do you want to be? In your marriage, where do you want to be? What's your plan to get there? What's your path? It's not going to happen from us just having the intentions and saying that's where we want to go. It's not going to happen by us just kind of wandering aimlessly. It's going to happen if we have a very clear direction. And the second part of that is there's time that it's going to take to get there. And I don't like this because I like to get places fast. I like things to happen in my life fast. I don't like to wait. I like for things to be kind of immediate, right? And it's like when we're driving to Kentucky and my kids are asking me every 30 minutes, are we almost there? How much longer? And I can literally just pull out my watch and say, it's been 30 minutes since you last asked me that. So we're 30 minutes closer, okay? It's we can figure this out. We're good at math. But that's the way it is, right? We want things fast in our lives, but that's not how it works. In order for real change, lasting change to happen in our lives, it takes a clear direction and heading down that path for a long time. I used to golf more, and I had a guy that I was golfing with one day, and his name was Dr. Misick, and we're on the driving range, and we're getting ready to go play. And Dr. Misick is like a scratch golfer. His everything, technique is perfect. And it just seems like he always hit the ball perfect and all that. And I thought I was a pretty good golfer, an okay golfer. I would shoot in the high 80s, low 90s. But I wanted to be more like him. And so I said, Dr. Misick, can you kind of evaluate me as a golfer? Like, give me some tips. What would you fix in my swing to get me to the next level? And he was kind of cut straight to the chase and kind of hurt my feelings when he asked me, Brent, do you want to stink at golf the rest of your life? And it hurt my feelings because I didn't feel like I stunk at golf. But he's like, no, you do. You stink at golf. You're not very good. And the question I'm asking you is, do you want to become good? Do you want to become a good golfer? And I was kind of, you know, trying to recover some. I was like, yeah, I would like to. And he said, well, you're going to have to make changes. And you may not like it because at first, it may cause you to actually struggle more. It's not going to be easy. And you're going to have to do it for a long time. But eventually, you'll get there. And so he shows me some of the things. And I try to swing the way he tells me one time, and the ball goes all over the place. And I quit. And I say, I don't want to do that. That doesn't work. You know, that doesn't work. That's bad advice. And I remember him saying, Brent, this isn't a video game, right? I didn't just give you a cheat code. This isn't magic. You actually have to develop this skill. It's going to take time going down this path, doing the right things over and over and over before it becomes natural and you get to where you want to go. And I look at this and I think that we have a tendency to do this in our lives, right? We say, God, this year, I'm going to trust you with my finances, so I'm going to tithe. I'm going to start giving 10% of my money. And the pastor said that it'll make my life better. And so I'm going to try that out. And so we try tithing for a little bit. And this isn't working. I just have like 10% less money. This isn't, you know, this isn't. And so you quit. Or you start off and you say, I'm going to get healthy. And and you're running some and you're exercising, and then you stop and you get ice cream and a cookie, and you don't lose the weight like you wanted to, and your body doesn't take the shape that you were wanting it to, and you say, this doesn't work, I'm going to quit. And we do this over and over in our lives. But it takes time to get real change in our life. Paul says this in Galatians 6:9, let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. You know, 365 days is a long time. It's long enough to get you pretty far in an area in your life. And I want you to think about this. If you decided that a year from today, where would you want your life to be? A year from today, where would you want your marriage to be? A year from today, in your walk with Christ, if you'd say, if I got on a clear path where I was going to church consistently, where I got into a life group, where I'm reading the Bible every single day, where I'm trying to faithfully follow God, at the end of the year, where could we be in our walk with Christ? Financially, a lot could change in your finances in 1 year if you just got on a clear path and you stuck to it. In our relationships, a lot could change if we set out and said, this is the destination I want, and you got on a clear path and you didn't get off that path. The challenge is that we have a tendency to get off the path. And this morning, what God's calling us to is decide where it is that you want to end up, and then get on a path to go there, and then be ruthless about staying on that path. We're going to encourage you guys to go on this journey with us for the next several weeks, where we're going to be talking about some really clear paths in different areas in our lives that we can take to get to a destination that God tells us is his best. And it's not going to be simple, but they're going to be clear. And if we will follow them and stay on those paths for an extended period of time, we will discover the best year ever. You guys ready for that? It starts with finding the direction that you want to go, because every direction we take, every path we take, it will lead to a specific destination. And this morning, we're going to be taking communion, and communion to me is one of the great times that we have to really examine our lives, because what I think is really a danger and where you can really get far off track is when you have an unexamined life, when you go a long period of time without really examining, where am I? What's the path that I'm on? I mean, if I really play this out and I continue down this path, where's it going to end up? And maybe there's a disconnect and you see a path that you're going down and you say, that's not really the destination I want to go to. The great news is that if you're on the wrong path, you can choose to get on a different path. And that's what Jesus does for us. Jesus offers us the ability to go a different direction. You see, Jesus came and he lived a perfect life and he died on the cross. And he said that if you'd put your hope and trust in him and allow him to come in and forgive us and make us new, that just like we saw this morning, that you could be going down a path one direction. And man, Jesus, accepting him into your life, he can take you down a different path, a different direction that's going to lead at a totally different destination. When we celebrate communion, we remember that amazing gift that God gave us. And as we kind of spend some time this morning reflecting during communion, I just want to ask you just really simply to take a moment to evaluate and examine your life and just ask yourself, am I on a path that is leading where I want to go? In my marriage, am I on a path that's leading to where I want to end up? In my finances, am I on a path? In my relationships, am I on a path that leads to where I want to be? And if you aren't, this morning, you could make a choice to say, I'm going to get on a different path. You see, choices come first, right? And the results and the rewards, they come later. This morning, we have the opportunity to make a choice. And as we take communion this morning, we're going to do it a little bit differently. I'm going to have you guys come from the center, okay? So even if you're on the outside, you're going to come in through the center. And then you're going to come, and we have it set up here and here. And there's a couple in the back as well, if you want to go back there. And we're going to do it where you're going to take the bread, and you're just going to dip it, okay? And you just put your hand underneath here like this so it doesn't drip, all right? And as we take of this together, we're remembering the body and the blood of Jesus, and that Jesus gives us the ability to go a different direction in life. And maybe this morning, the direction that you need to change is that you're headed down a path right now that's apart from God. And this morning could be a moment where you say, I need to go down a different path because I want my end to be life. Jesus said, I came to give you life and life to the full. And so maybe this morning you need to say yes to Jesus and start down that path. And it ends in an amazing result. It really does, life. But maybe this morning you're on a path that you need to consider in your marriage or a different area. Just use the next few moments, okay? As we pray together, as you're sitting there in your seat, use a few moments. If you want to come forward as you're taking up communion, the altars are open, you can stop and pray. Just kind of dedicate this year to God and say, God, maybe you don't even know what the path is. God, would you show me the path that I need to get on in my life? And make a commitment to it. And then just be ruthless about staying on this path. I'm not getting off it for Chick-fil-A. I'm not getting off it, right, for another opportunity that comes along. I'm staying on this path because it is going to take me where I want to go. Amen? Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you, Lord, for just your word and, God, just the picture you give us that there is a path, God, that we can take that leads to life. And God, this isn't, it's not just about salvation, God, but there's, you have a plan for every aspect of our life. You have a path for our marriages, for our finances, for our careers. God, that you have a path that we can follow that will lead to life. And God, this morning I pray that we will choose the path that we're on with the end in mind. God, that you'd help us to see the final destination while we're in the middle of this thing. And God, if we need to change course this morning, God, that you would give us direction about what path we need to take. And then, God, you'd give us the courage and the boldness, God, and just the desire to stick to it this next year. You didn't promise it would be easy, but you promised it would be worth it. And so, Lord, we just pray right now, God, that you would give us the strength to follow the path that you've laid out before us. Let's pray this right now in Jesus' name. Amen.